Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's November 13th, 2009, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I am Chris Cosenza.
I am Scott Long.
I have some good news.
Let's play Raz.
Let's play Raz, baby. It's again the calling cry of the Annie Up Nation because I actually won a Raz event.
Wow.
And by won, I mean I chopped it 7 ways.
Hey, that counts.
I guess it counts, right? I mean, I didn't come any lower than anybody else, so I don't know. It was
the official records will show you as number 1.
Yeah, I will be number
with
1.
6 others.
6 others. And I got to tell you too, there are some very interesting things that happened at this tournament. So I thought I'd go over some things, and there's a good talking point or two in there too that I want to know what you would do or what you think should be done. So let's launch right into it. There were about 40 players in this tournament. It was at the Daytona Beach Kennel Club and Poker Room. I drove over because they're having a big series. They were calling it the International, and you know, you're going to be going over there pretty soon too. And it was a nice structure too. I mean, I thought the structure was awesome. 20-minute blinds. You know, they started you with like 5,000 chips, but if you paid the dealer to add on for $10, you got 2,000 more. So we started with like 7,000 chips, and it was going really well. But it started at 7 o'clock at night. Now, I was thinking for a limit tournament that might get dicey, and sure enough, you know, they started cutting which I never heard of before, but they started cutting the levels down. It was like started at 20 minutes, but when they realized it was getting too close, they changed it to like 15 minutes and then 10 minutes. What do you think about that?
You know, I've heard some other rooms do that too. Usually for charity events when there is a you know, a time limit. I think, you know, actually our good friend Sam Minatello was telling us he did that for the Playboy tournament one year.
Yeah, I think I remember that too.
You know, the tournament just went longer than they thought, and they ran out of time. So what do you got to do? I mean, it's better than forcing everybody to chop, because that would never happen.
Well, funny you should say that. Despite the, you know, the tournament director's efforts to get over quick enough, you know, Florida, again, comes into play with their 12-hour rule. When it got to midnight, the place was open for 12 hours. We couldn't deal any more hands, and we got down to seven-handed. And there was one guy there who just, he actually left his money there to protest. Of course, he picked it up the next day. But he's like, no, I never chopped tournaments. And he wanted everybody to come back the next day and play again. You know, play it out.
Right.
And it was like, okay, first of all, you can't do that because what if the Daytona Beach Kennel Club didn't have enough staff for the next day? Even though it required just one dealer, but, you know, whatever. But what if they needed all those tables for the next day, which it turns out they kind of did because they had Vanessa Russo's boot camp the next day, and that took up, like, the whole tournament area. But the other thing, too, is, you know, Raz is a very rare occurrence in any state, much less Florida.
Yep.
So people drove from all over the place to play in this thing, and they were hoping to go home that night. They weren't going to pay for a hotel, stay overnight, you know, or whatever the reason was.
Right.
And
exactly.
You know,
it's advertised as a one-day tournament. It should be a one-day tournament.
Yeah. So he was like, well, I was second in chips, so, you know, or third in chips, or whatever he was. He said, I should get that money. I said, dude, they're paying 4 spots. And they were paying 4 spots, and there's 7 of us left. Do you really think we're going to give you, like, fourth-place money or third-place money or whatever it was? You know, and then what? Everyone else has to divide up the other 3 spots, and you get the full third or fourth? I mean, it makes no sense that we have to come up to a way. So we could have done the whole, you know, go by chip count and whatever like that. But it was like quarter after 12, you know what I mean? And everyone had already agreed to chop it evenly except for this one guy. So I don't know, Scott. Were we right? Was he right? What do we do there?
Wow. Here's what I would suggest. Write your legislature and have them overturn these crazy laws in Florida. That's probably the solution. You guys should have, rather than talking about chopping and stuff, you guys should have got out your feather pens and your Martha Stewart stationery and all written letters together. That's what I would have done. But, you know, I wasn't there, so...
And then we could have all sat around singing Kumbaya.
Exactly. But that's not how you played it, so I'm going to have to play it how you played it here. And, you know... Seven people left is going to play four. You know, I guess you could do a whole proportional thing, but that seems kind of weird. I guess what I would have said is, let's chop it seven ways, but give the chip leader a little extra.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have satisfied this guy, obviously, because he's, second in chips. But,
yeah.
But there should have been something for the person who had the most chips.
Because, you know, then he said, well, I would have changed the way I was playing. I was wondering why people were folding at the end, you know. I'm like, well, we all talked about, you know, we're just going to get to that last hand and end it so we can just go home. And he was pretty upset. I mean, he was cool afterward, but he was explaining to me why, you know, he doesn't chop, blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. So, but I was happy. Yeah. I didn't care, you know.
And I actually bumped into this guy next day. He just recognized me from the magazine, and then he started launching into me about this thing.
Yeah.
And I just briefly talked to you about it at that point, but I'm like, but I think one of his points was, I guess some kind of chop discussion started with two tables left. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what he thought, and he wasn't part of it, and so I think that's where it got him off on the wrong foot.
So, whether
that happened or whether he misunderstood it, it sounds like his anger started before he got down to the final seven.
But. Yeah, I think it was because we were at like nine players, and it was like 5 before midnight, and we're like, well, we'll get to the final table, then we'll chop it. That's what they said. And everyone was saying, okay, let's do that. And then he apparently didn't hear that or didn't agree to that or whatever, because we only had 5 minutes left. And sure enough, with like 4 minutes left, we got to the final table. It was 8 people, and then someone went out. And then when that last hand was dealt, that was it. It was the last hand. They couldn't deal anymore, and we had 7 people left. And anyway, so let's get past that now. Just a couple of interesting points, I thought. Only 6 times at my tables during the night did the dealers deal a flop.
Excellent, only 6.
So that's like an improvement, I think.
Very good, very good.
Some other things that happened. I was only all in once the entire tournament, and I more than doubled up, and then I went on a rush, so that was kind of cool. And I was actually a chip leader with about 2 tables left. And then also, I wanted to say, too, that our Abe's points leader, the player of the year leader, Potty Train Me. I won't say his real name because I figure that's – when you use Potty Train Me as your avatar name, something tells me you don't want people to know who you really are. But he was there. He drove down.
Awesome.
And I met him. I didn't know. And the funny thing is I'm sitting at the table and I hear him behind me talking to the lady and he says, I learned this from a podcast. I've heard about this game on a podcast. And I went, oh, my God. Whoever that is, they must be talking about our show because they don't talk about Raz and any other show.
Anything else, exactly.
And then I was talking to somebody else during the break, and that's when he came up to me, and I was like, "You must." He's like, "Chris, it's Potty Trained Me for Manny Up." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" And so we talked for a while, and he got crippled early on because he had like 2 wheel draws, and he was pushing the action with him. And bricked up a couple of times, so he got knocked out kind of early. But he's a great guy. Had a lot of fun talking to him, and. A couple other funny things that happened. One of the guys at the table was a dealer from Ocala, and he says to me, you know, where'd you get that shirt? You know, and I'm wearing my Annie Up shirt, and I told him that I was a publisher and stuff, and then I beat him out of a few hands. So he starts laughing. He's like, I hate publishers. I can't beat him in a hand. He's joking around with me. And then he says, well, if we make the final table, is this gonna be in the magazine? I said, oh, yeah, all the events from this are going to be in the magazine, and we'll take pictures and stuff. And he goes, don't take my picture. There's warrants out for me.
Yes.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Another thing is I was staying with a friend over there, and he gave me the key to his condo, and he said, look, I'm going to give you my lucky key. And sure enough, on the key it says lucky. And then excellent. And on the back of it, it had pocket kings. So,
awesome,
you know,
awesome.
I borrowed that key, and that key, I used it that night, and sure enough, I won. Oh, I didn't win a tournament, but I mean, I finished, you know, chopped for the tournament, so that was cool. I only went to Showdown 8 times in the entire tournament, from 7 to midnight. Five of those times, I knocked someone out, and only one hand I lost at Showdown the whole night.
Wow, wow.
And then the last thing was I saw a split pot in Raz.
A split pot in Raz?
Yes. I couldn't believe it. Someone split with 96754.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So not even a wheel or something like that.
I know. And the guy's like, chop it up. I'm like, no, this guy doesn't understand Raz. You're not chopping this up. And then, but sure enough, it was 97654. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. That's great.
But anyway, it made me, you know, fall in love with Raz all over again, and I think it may have got me out of my funk, because I was in a pretty good funk for a while there.
Yeah, we don't like you when you're in a funk.
Yeah, it smells, like smells real bad when I'm in a funk.
All right, well, you know, it wasn't the high excitement and big money of the Raz tournament at Daytona Beach, right. But there was another tournament going on Monday night.
And we can actually say who won, because it's not like we'd be spoiling anything now.
It's true, yeah. If you don't already know who won the World Series, too bad. You can't watch it on TV. It's already been on TV.
Yeah.
So don't cry to us.
That's right.
But the little kid, Joe Cada, beats Darvin Bad Moon Rising. Heads up. Joe is now the youngest person to ever win the World Series main event. Eclipsing the record held for, about 1 year, when Peter Eastgate said it last year. So, Chris, this is my question to you of many questions. Will we ever see anybody older than 21 win the World Series again?
You know, it's amazing, because the only way this record's ever going to get broken is if they change the, you know, the gambling age to 18, because this is unbelievable. Every year, it's like someone younger keeps winning. It's going to be like, you're going to have to, like, turn 21 on the day of the main event to be able to win this thing and break the record now. It's remarkable. I mean, this kid was in high school, like, 3 years ago.
Right, right.
Oh, my God. Insane. Yeah. And you know what else, too? He had 2.3 million chips at one point at that table. 2.3. Yep. And he won.
Well, a couple things I thought were interesting, too, is, you know, we made a big deal about, or at least I did, I think other people did, too, but I made a big deal about how Darvin Moon went in this final table with 59 million in chips, and it was going to take a lot of bad moves for him to lose those chips. I found it interesting that going into heads-up, he went into heads-up with 58 million in chips.
Yeah.
So Joe got everybody else's chips. Plus a little sweet and low packet from Darvin during the, you know, the final nine part of it, and still with 58 million in chips going heads up, you know, you couldn't count them out.
You know, it was funny. When I was there at Daytona, I also attended Vanessa Russo's camp for the magazine to write a little review on it, and she talked about, you know, if you're at the final table, you know, she does all these calculations throughout the stages of tournaments. And finds out, like, if you're an average stack or – and then she, like, thinks ahead to say, okay, if I'm at the final table, what will the average stack be? And then if I'm heads up at the end, what would the average stack be? And then if I have that stack already now, there's no reason for me to get involved in hands unless I absolutely have a monster. So, you know, that was probably – I thought that was going to be, like, Darvin Moon's thinking, and, of course, that wasn't. He went in and – he was making terrible moves and stuff, and was very fortunate to get his money back, actually, to get up heads up with Joe like that. But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was funny that he actually ended up heads up with almost the same amount that he started with. And you would think, oh, he probably didn't play any hands. But, man, did he play hands. He played a lot of hands.
And, of course, our little hope, Kevin Schaffel, went out eighth in what was a brutal online-esque beat.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Pocket aces. Ugh.
It was weird. I mean, it's a dream situation because he had pocket aces versus kings just a little while ago to double him up and get him, you know. And then he gets him again, and it's like, oh, my God. You know, it's like he's destined to win. And then, oh, man, how brutal is that? And even the king on the turn to give him quads.
Yeah.
How brutal is that?
You know, and I did an interview with the Miami Herald this week about this, and he asked me, you know, obviously we were disappointed that Kevin didn't go farther. And I was like, you know, here's the thing. You go into this tournament knowing only one of the nine people are going to win.
Yeah.
You had only 12 million chips, so it's going to be a long shot anyhow. I mean, but, you know, when you get your money in good and you go out, I don't know what you feel better about. I mean, if you get short stack and go in bad and somebody knocks you out and you're like, you wrap the table, good job. But, you know, when you get it all in good and then get clocked like that, it's got to hurt even worse.
Yeah, I know. I think the consolation of knowing you got your money in good far, you know, does not outweigh anything that, you know, winning that hand would have done, or, you know, the thoughts of, you know, $8.5 million in your pocket. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, not that I want to get all my money in with Queen 7 and have somebody have aces. It's going to make me feel better, but...
Yeah, and I guess what I'm meaning more is that if they finished it out back in July like they used to,
yeah,
it would be a little different. But then you have like this 4 or 5 months off.
Yeah,
you do all these interviews and you're becoming a celebrity, and you know, you're thinking about how to play, and you know, I imagine some of these people had coaches and ran simulations, and then you get there and you go out just on old fashioned bad luck. It's just ironic, I think, to me, more so than, you know, getting it in good or bad.
I mean, how do you think Aikenhead feels? A guy comes from England.
Yeah, yeah.
To not get any more money. You know what I mean? To just show up and lose to, you know, nines over threes. And
he got a little bit more probably in the interest. It's in the interest-bearing account. Probably paid for his flight.
Yeah.
And maybe a Ellis Island steak dinner. all right, but before the World Series, we mentioned our listener Amy Mech had sent us in a November 9 tournament idea. Yeah. You know, remember this, Chris, where the people were going to bid on the stacks, and that was going to go in the prize pool. And we did a little thing on that. So, but she had hers, and here's what happened: the first three stacks, Chris, went for 101, 100, and 102.
Ooh. Well, it's because they were desperate at that point, right?
Well, yeah, you know, and I wrote back, and I you know, it's kind of like the eBay effect, you know, when you know there's three tickets to that concert you want to go on eBay.
Yeah.
And so that first one, you kind of bid what you think you want to buy. And the second one, you might bid about the same or a little bit more. But, you know, it's not a big deal. You still got one more to fall back on. But if you don't get those first two, that last one is like the best concert ticket in the entire world. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, let me mortgage the house. I need that. And even though the value of it's less, there's more value to it now beyond the actual value.
Right.
So I wasn't necessarily surprised to see that, but it was interesting. And then she said the winners were the first, second, and third stacks in that order.
Huh. Well, I guess that makes – I mean, not that it makes sense, but – and I don't – necessarily, I guess that's not the way the actual World Series went, although one of those stacks did finish second. But, wow, that's pretty wild. I can imagine why someone would freak out and want to buy the – pay more for the third stack because they didn't get the first two and doesn't want to be short stack. But I would have stuck with my plan and bought the smallest stack possible.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know whether that third person actually made money, because I think she said her prize pool was $530 and paid three places. So,
ooh, yeah, there's no way.
Sure, he lost money. But I should have done the quick math, but I wonder if he lost. He probably did lose a little bit more than Amy, who bid the minimum and got the short stack, which was her plan.
Good plan. I thought it was a good plan.
Interesting.
Wow. All right, well, cool.
All right, well, you know, not all of us can go to the World Series or do our own November 9 tournament, so that's why we have Apes, Chris.
That is why we do it.
Perhaps the most anticipated Apes event in history after that 1,300-person free roll that went on longer than the November 9 break a couple weeks ago. We played Heads Up on Wednesday night. 81 players showed up, and it looked like... And correct me wrong, because you actually lasted longer than I did. It looked like it ran much better.
I wouldn't know, because I only lasted one match longer than you.
Oh,
so
okay.
I didn't watch any longer than that. I was like, I'm ready to go to bed. Please don't let me suck out on this guy. So I really don't know what happened. Basically, the only reason why I knew who won, because you told me. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know who won either.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations. excuse me.
That, how do you spell that?
I'm all choked up. I'm just so happy for him. So happy for Sites333. He's the great guy who compiles our all-time Apes records.
Yes.
And we have a link to that website that he puts together on our AnnieUpMagazine.com/apes website. And he won the big nanner there, beating over Own the Dream, another longtime listener.
Yep.
And as seems to be tradition with our winners, they do not call the hotline.
But the runner-up always does.
But yes, Own the Dream had the his finger on the digits and gave us a ring. So let's listen to what he had to say.
Hey fellas, this is Own the Dream. I just finished second place in the old Heads Up Apes tournament. I was so close to that nanner. I was looking forward to it. I could taste it, but my man Sites got kings and I got nines, and I should have laid it down and shouldn't have lost all them chips, but I did, so I did, and now I don't have no nanner. So, yeah, it was fun. Stayed up a little too late. I'm on my way to work right now, so, but it's all good. It's worth it. I'd do it again. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the show. Have fun.
Man, he really wanted that, Chris.
Yeah, you could tell. And, you know, anyone who refers to it as a nanner really, really wants it. They have this sort of passion for bananas. You could tell anybody who gives it a nickname, they want it bad enough. So, you know, it'll come soon enough. Don't worry.
Well, you know, and the funny thing for me was that, you know, we've been slammed. We're on deadline this week, so I've been cranking out as much work as I can. So I was afraid that there might be a possibility, Chris, that I might actually forget. You know, I just get, you know, engrossed in the work and then wake up at like a 9:30 and go, oh, my God!
Yeah.
So, you know, I launched Poker Stars like at 5 o'clock during the day, right?
Yeah.
Because I figure, you know, at 9 o'clock, the little table will jump in front of whatever I'm doing, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be ready to play, right? Well, I got like 8:59. I'm looking at 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, all right, good. We're getting ready to start. 9 o'clock comes around, and I'm like, where's my table? So I go to the lobby, and I'm like, wow, this is weird. This tournament's starting late. And then I see some chips flying in the lobby. And I'm like, people are playing. How come I'm not playing? So then I'm like, well, maybe I got to buy. You know, this is only the second heads-up tournament I played, the first one being the free roll. So I don't know what happens when you get a buy.
Right.
Right? So I started clicking around just to be sure. And then I find out I'm at a table. I get there, Gap Band 85 is there, just raising the bejesus out of my blinds. And I'm like, what's going on? It's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, those guys that get like, in the movies where they get like hit by a car and their spirit flies out of their body and they're floating over the body. And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching my stack, but I can't play. So I go to type in the chat, I'm like, what? WTF? And as soon as I start typing in the chat, it's filling in my password. I'm like, no!
You didn't sign in.
I opened PokerStars, but I didn't sign in.
Oh, man.
So I was rattled, and of course, you know, I get Gap Band 85. You know, a real tough player. And, hey, I battled.
Yeah, I watched you. You did.
Get back from that, and then, boom, wasn't meant to be. But, you know, and I felt bad, too. I wanted to play this thing.
You know, I think you missed something, too. Two things I wanted to say to you. One, you know, the tournament started before 9 o'clock. I want you to know that. I was looking at the tournament clock, and it said, we'll start in 1 minute. And when it started, the tournament clock still said 8:58, and then it went to 8:59. So literally, you were like a minute and a half. You know, it started a minute and a half before you even were late. And then you showed up pretty much on time, maybe 1 minute late.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think you may have missed, I'm not sure, but Gap Band said, Scott, let me raise enough here to get you back to even. Just go all in. And then I think you missed it, and you folded, and that's how he got more money.
I saw it, but I didn't know if he was playing with me. I don't think he was.
No, I think he was trying to be nice.
But, you know, hey, I was late. You know, I know.
Well, you know, but he wanted to win fair and square, I think.
I appreciate that, but, I was fine drinking my medicine.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you saw that or not. Okay. Because I was watching, and it was fun railing you, you know, watching and wondering what you had and stuff. A lot of your hands didn't go to showdown, so it was... It's tough, you know, you're like, oh, what did he have there, and then, you know, whatever, but it was kind of cool watching.
All bluffs.
But I have to admit, you know, if every single match went as long as yours did, I was glad, I mean, I literally was looking to get knocked out, to be honest, at one point. I was like, all right, let's just end it here, because I don't know, you know, if our matches all last 45 minutes each, and then there's the breaks, too, and everything, it was going to be, I don't even know what time this ended. What time did this end?
I don't know. I was well into sleepville.
Yeah, I think heads up tournament should be in the daytime.
Okay. Well, now you're gonna get our European people all excited.
That's what I mean. I mean, maybe we got make the one heads up tournament a different day, like a Saturday or something.
Yeah, that's great. So then all the people will get their wives and their kids yelling at them, "Daddy, I want to go out and play catch." Hey, you told me you clear the gutters. Sorry, it's heads up. We got to play during the day. Hey, Chris.
Oh man. All right. Well, you know what, though? I am excited about one thing. Next event is Badoogie. And I'm not so much excited about it being Badoogie as I am that next week we're going to have Greg Raymer on the show to tell us how to play this game.
Yeah. You know, people have been writing us all the time, and they're like, Chris and Scott, you guys give the best power tips for all these games. I've burned all my books, Super System, Fireplace. Just when you guys do power tips, I just, you know, I'm entranced. And we respect that. I mean, we appreciate that. Really, we do. But Greg Raymer, you know, he's an up-and-comer.
Yeah, he's maybe just a slight more knowledgeable at this than we are.
Yeah, so we'll take a little vacation this weekend, you know, and let this so-called world champ tell us how to play the Badoogie events.
So just to recap, it's Event 11, and the actual event will be December 9, $5 plus 50 cents. And if you need the information on that, you know where to go, anyupmagazine.com/apes. And then the free roll, though, will be November 25th, same time, same bat channel. So I'm looking forward to it, and, you know, I'm hoping I learn something from Raymer, because, you know, when we're in the home game, I just want to fold every hand in Badoogie. And I don't want to do that in the tournament.
Maybe we want you to do that. We'll see.
All right, well, let's see what's on the Anteup news desk.
The U.S. Poker Championship, held every year at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, has signed a deal to broadcast events on Spike TV. Besides the $5,000 main event, other events scheduled include the 2,500 pot limit Omaha Championship and two high-stakes cash game sessions.
Awesome. You know, I used to like watching it. It was kind of like the redheaded stepchild on ESPN, you know. They never really gave it the same resources or excitement, but... Now that Spike's taking it over, I have no idea who's doing like the actual play-by-play commentating stuff, but I'll be very interested to see.
AJ Benza? Spike TV, match made in heaven.
Yeah, man, let's get him on there, man. But I'm sure it's already done, so we'll have to see who does it. But you know me and my poker TV, I'm excited that there's one more option for me to check out, so... PokerEthical.com, which is a poker affiliate marketing site, has announced that it will donate 50% of its gross revenue to charities. SOS Children and Crusade are the first two charities to benefit.
Yeah, nice giving back a little bit.
Very nice.
Appreciate that. And then finally, Chris, Vanessa Russo will be one of the panelists on a new e-reality show called Bank of Hollywood. And that comes to us from Anteup National, David Bloomberg, who runs realitynewsonline.com. Participants on the show will come before a panel of celebrities to ask for money. It debuts December 14th. And you got to ask Vanessa about this week.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. She brought it up randomly during the camp. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. What? That's news. So I asked her about it, and here's what she had to say.
Talk about that at all for me?
Yeah, I have on E! Network, I have a show coming out called The Bank of Hollywood. It's nothing to do with poker. It's awesome. It was a really great experience where we give away tons of money for people to fulfill their dreams.
Wow.
All they had to do was convince the panel. It's going to be both heart-wrenching, hysterical, frustrating. I felt every range of emotion while on that panel. I think it's going to be a pretty cool show. Ryan Seacrest produced it. I have some other pretty interesting Hollywood and celebrity characters on the panel with me. And so it's December 14th at 10 p.m. on E! Network. It premieres.
It's so weird that like the news was breaking at the exact same time that I was finding out about it, too. It's like simultaneous, you know, atomic clock kind of thing.
Spreading. Maybe we should start a Bank of Anteup show.
Bank of
people
Anteup.
Come to us and, you know, present why they need the nickel in our...
our bank account?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, well, we got a hotline clip. And this one comes from Kesan in Israel. The phone number is 813-448-1120. You give us a call. We use the clip. We give you something nice. And he wants to know a couple of tips on starting a good home game.
Hi, Scott and Chris. This is Zach Kesan from Israel. I'm a big fan of the show, and I had a question for your hotline. I am thinking of starting up a small home game here, probably in the form of a sit-and-go. Buy-in would be 20 shekels, which is about $5. And if you could just maybe dedicate some time and tips to how to start and run a good home game. That'd be, like, really great.
Wow. Well, Chris, I think we did a show on this before, didn't we?
We did, and I remember you wrote an article back when we worked
years
for...
Years ago. That's right, yeah.
That magazine.
For TBT.
Yeah, on how to start a home game kind of thing. So I know first and foremost, though, they have to have the Annie Up Poker Cast streaming over the speakers of your home stereo in the background.
Oh, that's a good start. That's a good start. I thought you were going to say pretzels.
No.
For me. Get out of pretzels. Well, yeah, I mean, we could spend hours on this, and we won't. But, you know, I think the most important thing is to get together a good group of solid players.
Yeah, you want to get better when you're playing, too. You don't want to just...
Well, yeah, but I mean, consistent players that are going to show up.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you can have, like, what we like to call backbenchers. Or that second tier, you know, we've got like our core group for our home game, and then we've got some other people that kind of satellite around us, like, you know, Jupiter.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, when the regulars can't be there, they pop in, so that's kind of good too. But you need to have a game consistency, I think, is a big thing when starting a game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you want to know that you're going to have a game, you know. But you know, I always like it to feel official when I play these things. I don't want it to be like an egg timer, or, you know what I mean? So I'm looking for like a good tournament clock when I'm playing tournaments. Right. You know, whether it's on your laptop or one of those all-encompassing buttons, you know, for your, whatever. Yeah. So that I like. I like stuff like that. I want to make sure that I feel like I'm actually playing in a tournament and not just like, hey, you think we should raise the blinds? You know, I don't want to hear that. So I like it to be, you know, as close to the real thing as possible.
Absolutely. And communication with all your home game players is hugely important. You know, talk out all those rules beforehand and what you want to play at stakes like that. And, you know, then you're probably off to a good start.
Hey, you know what else, too? You know, if you don't have plastic cards, you should have plastic cards. Preferably J Design, because, you know, they're of the official playing card of the Annie Up Nation.
Nice little plug there.
Thank you. But, no, really, you know, nothing is more grotesque than playing with, like, the cotton paper cards, you know. You can literally see the swine flu making the deck expand in height as you play with it during the night. You know, it's disgusting. At least the plastic cards, you know, they hold the germs better, at least. You know, you don't see it as bad. So you got to like playing with plastic cards. They're just more durable, they're more reliable, and they're less likely to crimp or, you know, whatever, screw the game. So that's another good thing for the hang. Not that we're trying to make this a long topic, but, you know, just keep that in mind, too, if you don't have them already.
Absolutely. Now, Casson, we appreciate you calling all the way from Israel. And while you're working on getting that home game going, you can enjoy this wonderful swag package of a $10 staking package from getastake.com. That will get you some money online until you get some real friends and get that game going.
Until you get some real friends. Oh, my God. All right, well, we got a mailbag, Scott. Now, it's very interesting because we're going to have even more mailbag later.
Mm-hmm.
But today's mailbag actually gets some swag, so we got to make sure we give this guy something. So Jeff Price from Fairmont, West Virginia, says he's been playing poker on PokerStars for a while for free money, and he's been killing the tournaments. So now he's like, all right, I'm ready to play for real, but he has no idea how. He wants to know, have the law changed, you know, so that he can do it now, and how do you go about getting some money on PokerStars so that you can play for real?
Laws changed, eh? Well, here's the thing. It's never been illegal.
I know.
Sorry, Jeff. I mean, maybe you're waiting for it to be implicitly legal, which we're all hoping for. But there's nothing illegal about playing poker online, except in a couple of weird states like Washington, you know, where rapists are Mother Teresa's compared to online poker players. But in the good state of West Virginia there, you're quite all right, so don't worry about that. And then, Chris, you probably want to tell them how to get some money online, right?
Well, the best way for me, and, you know, once you're there, you obviously have an account, but once you're about to make your first deposit, it'll tell you all of the options. But the favorite way for me, and we actually had an article in one of our recent issues, too, by our good online columnist, John Lanier, about how to get money online. There are a bunch of options. My favorite way is the e-checks, which is a system that will just, you give them the routing number of a check or your account or whatever it is, and then you have to type in a bunch of stuff like your social security number to approve it and everything. But basically, they'll be able to just instantaneously put money in your account from your bank account or from whatever account it is that you're hooking up the routing number to. And it's simple, you know, and there's a max that you could put in, so you know, you can't just go crazy and put in your entire, you know, life savings and everything. So there's ways to monitor how much you put in, and I like that way. That's my favorite way, and it's not illegal. Obviously, if I've done it a million times and I'm not in jail, then neither will you. So, and believe me, I've had to do it a million times. So, But really, that's the best. I found it as the simplest way, e-checks. But there are other ways to do it, and you may, you know, you may have something else you'd rather do. And so check out all the options on PokerStars. And I told him too, you know, be sure to go to our website and click on the online rooms portion on the upper right hand corner, and check out the PokerStars bonuses we have, because they're really good, and they have exclusive free rolls too. So
yeah, absolutely.
No reason not to do that.
All right, Jeff. Well, while you're waiting to get online, we're going to send you a deck of J-Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com. They are the official playing cards of Anti-Up. Use those in the home games and invite Kesson from Israel over.
And I've heard that somewhere before, that they're the official cards of Anti-Up. I'm not sure where.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know where they are. But,
yeah. All right, well, we are going to go on to the Right Along with Columbo. And this is the same hand as the episode before. We get pocket nines, and we raise to 5,000. We'll get called this time by the big blind. And the flop comes 7 of clubs, 2 of diamonds, king of clubs. And now our opponent shoves. Scott, what do we do?
I fold, but I fold every hand. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen a showdown in my entire poker career. Here's the thing. There's a good debate going on in the forum. But you know, if we decided pre-flop to raise to 5,000 rather than shoving or something like that, it was because we decided it was the right amount to accomplish our goal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if that was what we decided, why do we now all of a sudden decide we want to call off all of our chips when our opponent bets into us when there's an overcard on the board? You know, maybe it's a bluff to, you know, because we made a button raise and push us off. But, you know, again, this is like the fourth or fifth hand in this whole series that we've been put to a test for stacks with not a hand I want to be stacking with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I look at it and I think I fold as well, because now that I've seen the flop, I can be behind, or I could be up against a flush draw, and I really want to put my life on the line here. I mean, I look at it and I say, well, you know, it actually is a pretty decent flop for us. If you give some more thought to it, it's a pretty decent flop for us, because he would have had to have hit three outs to be beating us right now if he wasn't beating us pre-flop. And also, a lot of the hands that he would have called to raise with out of position with a king in his hand would have probably shoved pre-flop anyway.
True.
So it's interesting. I still think I fold here, because I think I still have enough to pick up a better hand in a better spot. So I think I still fold. But I do think that we might actually be ahead here just because of the fact that we have an overpair to two of the cards, and any hand that had a king in it might have shoved pre-flop. So, but saying that, I still fold.
Well, we appreciate you giving us lots of reasons why not to fold. And telling us to fold.
I want to cover all my bases.
The forum, of course, also says fold, though they all said that we should have shoved pre-flop. So, the famous Chris Cassandra defense. I would not have played it this way. Since you wouldn't become a donkey. This is how I'm going to have to play it now.
Hey, I'm only good at making the worst hand, hence why I win at Raz. All right, well, let's see what happens, and then move on to part 19.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and welcome to episode 19 of Ride Along with Columbo. If you recall, we were on the button with 9-9, and first to act, we decided to raise it to 5,000 and got called. When the flop came, 7 of clubs, 2 of diamonds, king of clubs, the small blind then shoved all in for 22K. Again, I think this is a really hard decision.
At first, I had nothing to go on.
If you recall, this player did this to me a rotation ago, and he got away with it. I also know that any pocket pair or ace-king would run a stop-and-go here. I know I would. I can beat more than half the hands that shove here, and I am ahead of all the ace-x hands but ace-king. Despite the number of times I've gone out of a tournament with a pair on a board with one overcard, I think this situation is different in that I am probably good here, since I think ace-king would have shoved pre-flop. I call the all-in, and he shows ace of diamonds and nine of clubs, and that's as good as it gets. The turn is a 10, and the river's... No! The river's the ace of clubs! What is this, television? Oh! Okay. The river's the ace, and we are sent packing. Winning the pot would have been 57K with an average of about the same, so it would have made a great run for the final table. But in a tournament, like in life, all you can do is try and get your money in ahead, and you're never as far ahead as you think you are. One card, and it's all over. All in all, a strong finish after a weak start. But nevertheless, join me next week for the return of the one-minute mystery.
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited. He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Since we've gone to the swag shelf, Chris, we've tried to spread around the swag to as many people as possible. We don't like swag hogs here at Antiup.
Swag hogs.
But you know, just because you win some swag doesn't mean that you're banished from sharing your phone calls or emails or things like that with us. And so what we started doing is kind of saving them up a little bit and waiting to bring back our long-lost friend, Chris. The Mailbag Show!
You know, it used to be where we couldn't wait to get a mailbag show going, and because we just we were running out of topics. But lately, it's been like we have so many topics. We're like, oh yeah, hey, what about a mailbag show? We forgot all about those. So very excited to bring it back. I'll get it started. It's Dan England from Greenlee, Colorado, or maybe that's Dan Greenlee from England, Colorado. I'm not really sure.
Oh, interesting.
But he says I've been playing Limit because I wanted to change up my game for a while.
Woohoo!
And he says he wants to take advantage of the players at that level, so most of the players don't seem to be very good, he says, even at 2-4, where he plays, which doesn't seem to be an especially small limit. He's amazed at how often people will call you down with ace high, like ace king unimproved, and he says he's even done it himself a few times and been successful. How often do you do this, and is this a common thing in Limit?
Wow, let's see, where do we start here? 1-2-4 is an especially small limit. Unless online, which plays a little bit bigger, more like a 4-8 there. So in my experience, and I think most people's experience with a 2-4 game, is it is akin to bingo. what I heard the other day called as a quote-unquote showdown game. In other words, you're not going to do a lot of bluffing and getting people to fold hands and take down pots without showing your cards. So you have to have showdown value with your hands. And I think you do see a lot of these people that just don't believe you.
Yeah.
With their ace king. And even if they do believe you, I have to say it. And, you know, it's only $2 for a bet or $4 for a bet here or there. So it happens.
Sometimes our home game, it's some of the most entertaining fodder that happens when between you and like Faso get into a hand and you guys show down ace queen or ace king and it's like, it's good, you know? And I have to take as much entertainment out of that as possible because I haven't gotten any entertainment of actually winning hands lately. So I enjoy it when you guys are like going back and forth and there's raises and stuff. And then at the end, it's like ace king high and it's good. And I'm like, oh my God. So it definitely happens a lot more in Limit where people are making calls on the end with ace high than it does in No Limit. But it always amazes me when someone turns over ace high and they're calling raises with it and it's good. Always amazes me.
Yeah. Well, and he asked how often we do this. Like it's a home game when we're shorthanded, I'll do it quite a lot.
Yeah.
But in a full ring game in a casino when there's 7 old ladies and a couple old guys in the hand with me. I'm going to fold that ace on that flop if I miss.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll let them duke it out to see who's baby 2 pair is going to win this one. So,
well, our next letter is from AZ Slick, right?
Yep. Yeah, good old Slick.
Haven't heard from him in a while. Yeah.
Well, it's probably because we're not giving swag out anymore. All right, it's a little long one, but it's interesting. So here we go. It's he's playing in a live tournament. He's been playing pretty well with a pretty healthy chip stack. He never limps into a pot, and winning most of the pots he entered. Sounds good so far.
Yeah.
Says, I think he has some respect, a good table image. He was under the gun, +2, raised 3x. Everyone fold around the big blind who called. Slick had queen-jack offsuit. The flop came king-9-3 rainbow. Big blind checked, and he did a c-bet about half the pot. which also happened to be half of the big blind stack. All right, you following along here, Chris?
I'm following along just fine.
All right, good. So he goes all in. Pot committed. Slick is pot committed now, so he has to call. Turns out the guy had a king, hit the flop, turned out the pot. All
right? Right.
Ooh, just lost a bunch of chips. All right, here, now we get to the good part. About seven hands later, Slick wakes up with pocket jacks. Everyone folds around. He raises 3X, gets one caller. Flop comes 10 high, no flush or straight possibilities. His opponent checks to him. Slick goes all in. The opponent calls and had hit top pair with king 10. The jacks end up holding up, and the opponent turns to Slick and says, "I thought you were doing the queen jack raise." So Slick wants to know, by showing down a losing hand earlier, drawing for an inside straight, he had set this double up play up. He says it's just as good as showing a bluff. He never thought about doing something like this, but it worked perfectly. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think it's about image, and I think that's exactly, you know, it's not just, oh, well, he's not playing a lot of hands, so he's tight, that's his image. It's not just, oh, he's wearing sunglasses, so, you know, he must have played before, so that's his image. There's other ways to establish your image, and I think this is a perfect way, as long as you remember what you did before, and then do it again later, make it look like that's what you might be doing. I don't know, and obviously he didn't do that intentionally here, because the guy said that to him, and that made him think, oh my God, that's what happened. So you always have to remember how you played hands before, and then if while you're playing, you can say, oh my God, you know what, this is the same situation before when I didn't have it. Now I do have it. If I do the exact same thing, they might think I don't have it, and that's exactly what happened here. I did it unintentionally, but now that you know that it works, be thinking like that in the future when you're playing. I like that idea. I mean, I like that the way it turned out for him.
Yeah, you know, we've talked before about whether you should show your cards or not, and I think the common consensus is, you know, don't give your opponents any information than you have to.
Right.
But I think it's also an example, you know, if you do a play that is out of your normal range, that's one of the exceptions, I think, to showing your cards. You know, hey, look at me, I'm a donk. I played 4-3 offsuit here and
yeah,
missed my draw. And as long as you're able to, as you said, you know, remember it and know that people saw it, and then use it to your advantage later on. So, good luck with that, Slick.
Well, this next entry, Scott, is it reminds me of an audio clue on Jeopardy.
Yes. Audio Daily Double.
And we've held this one a long time. We've had this clip a while. And it comes from Dan from Alabama. And let's just play the clip.
I got a question about Texas Hold'em that I just can't understand. Maybe it's for all poker, but I've just started playing that. Why is it that if you go all in, say I've got ace-ace and I go all in with $20, and there's a guy on the other side of the table, and he's got ace-king, and he goes all in with $500, he only loses $20. I don't get it. Why shouldn't, if he goes all in, why shouldn't he lose everything he shoved out there? I just do not understand that. I understand how if you go all in with $20, it just seems that to figure that you lose $20, whereas if someone goes all in on the other side of the table with $200, they should lose that as well.
Okay, now before, you know, we get all snarky or whatever, I have to admit, the first time I ever played Hold'em in my life, and I played it with two people who didn't know how to play it either, okay?
Right.
When one of the players, we were playing a tournament, and when one of the players had like $5 left, and we all had like 50, we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
We were like,
What
do we do here? Because we just didn't know how to play that. We always played limit games growing up, you know, five-card draw and limit and all that stuff. We never played no limit and stuff. We didn't know what to do. And so at first when I heard this clip, I kind of chuckled. I thought, well, of course you're not going to give someone, you know, 500,000 chips when you only had 10 chips. You know, it doesn't make sense. You can only win what you have, and that's the reason why you don't do it. But at first, you know, it made me remember that, and it's true. If you really don't know, you don't know, and that's why you don't get them all, because there's no way that they would lose all their chips to you when you only have five and they have 500,000. So it's just a math thing.
Yeah, and if that was the rule, then you can imagine play would be completely different. Short stacks would not be scared anymore at all.
No, exactly. If you knew you put in five to win 500,000, you're getting infinite odds, you know, to play any two cards. And
I'd be going all in every hand.
Yeah, there'd be no reason not to, you know.
And Dan, I'll mention this too in case this has come up. But one of the first live tournaments I played, I got into a hand where I pushed all in over the top of another big stack. So there's already a small stack already in. Right?
Yep.
I push all in, and the guy with the other stack is considering his thing and asks the tournament director, if I fold, I'm still in for that main pot, right? And sorry, it doesn't work that way. When you fold, your hand's gone, so it doesn't matter. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, you don't think about that kind of stuff until you actually are learning the game and trying to figure it out. And,
exactly.
You know, fair questions, but that's how it works.
Yep.
All right, Chris, our last one of the show comes from Chris Sawyer, all the way from Okina, Illinois.
Cool name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I nailed that, too.
Yeah, I think you did, too.
All right, cool. He says he was in Puerto Rico recently. Oh, I think I nailed that, too.
Never heard of it.
I was in Puerto Rico recently and entered his first live Hold'em tournament. He was happy to say that he finished third, and he gives some of the credit to you guys in the Antiup Nation. Woohoo! Pause for applause. Thank you, Chris. All right, when he got down to three players left, one of the other players started talking chop. Our hero here, Chris, had a 2-1 chip lead at that point, and the guy who wanted chop wanted to make it an even chop.
Hmm.
Now, Chris declined since he had the chip lead, and he was there to play to win. And as he said earlier, he finished third, which they found extremely amusing. Now, Chris, he wants to know, should he have taken the chop? He says there were only about 50 people in the tournament. First place paid 800, third paid around 300, so he probably would have walked away with about 500. Obviously, in hindsight, he should have taken it, but in the heat of the moment, was his decision a bad one?
Well, it's funny that this came up now because of the chop situation I was just in, but in my situation, we were forced to chop because there's nothing else we could do. In his situation, if he wants to keep playing, he's got every right to do it.
Play it out, baby.
So the word should, I disagree with. No, you should. You didn't have to do this. You should not have chopped if you didn't want to. Is it good karma? If you believe in that kind of thing, yeah. Do you want to make friends at the table instead of enemies? Yeah. I think he probably could have persuaded them to say, all right, just give me another $30 or $50 because I got a 2-1 chip lead and I'll chop so we can go play some more or something. That probably could have happened. If he was adamant about it, then they were gunning for him and he's already, now even though he's got a 2-1 chip lead, he's against two opponents who are gunning for him, and that's certainly something you don't want at a table. So in hindsight, not just because of the money, but because of the reputation and the karma or whatever. But I would have probably just. I mean, I love the chop. I don't care. I just want to get it over with. Know I've made some money and go home and or go and keep playing again somewhere else or playing another sit and go or something. So I would have chopped, but that's not to say that you should have chopped.
Very well played. Very well played.
All right.
And you know, he didn't say what the second place was, but I'm guessing you know it probably could have been about a chop of. You know, 600, 500, 500. I think that's probably what I've already thrown out there. And, you know, you'll have some of the old-timers say, hey, no, a chop's a chop. Yeah, and at that point, you say, fine, all right, I'll play it out. And you take your shot. I mean, you know, at that point, you're only giving up a couple $100. So, I mean, there's no shame in saying, hey, I've got double the chips. Give me a little extra.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, I love the mailbag. I'm so glad we brought it back this week because it's so cool to just think about all these different situations that are happening all around the world. That's why poker is such a beautiful game.
Wow. You should put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm waxing poetic here. I think that we should do something with it.
Kick it! Hi, this is Team Poker Stars Pro Vanessa Russo, and you're listening to the Anti-Up PokerCast. You gotta fight for your right
to play! Chris, 2 weeks in a row, Lee Child's in the house, in a house.
He must have taken the nasal swine flu inhalant thingy.
Lee from AcumenPoker.net and LockPoker, thanks for coming back. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Excellent.
Lee, do you ever analyze hands from Canada, or are you clearly a United States-only player?
I guess I'm kind of open to it. It's kind of tough. I don't know. I don't know if I'd have to do it. I guess I'd have to do those for free, since they have the free healthcare and all that.
Yes, true.
So I guess we can do it though.
Should I play like Anne Murray music in the background on this segment or?
Excellent. Make some Brian Adams.
How do you not pick Rush there?
Well, you know, it was so obvious to go with Rush there that I thought I'd mix it up.
Even though we all know that Loverboy is the greatest Canadian band ever.
Oh, please. Yes. Even Triumph beats Loverboy.
But Triumph doesn't work for the weekend, so.
Let's move on, because our Hand of the Week segment sent to last like 2 hours with Lee. So let's not get any more into the Canadian music history, okay?
Big Rush fan, Chris. Don't worry.
Excellent. All right, well, we'll try to work through the language barrier here for you, Lee. This hand comes from Ben, who goes by Benny Milk. He's all the way from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And, of course, he's big fans of the show. So let's a little round of applause there, Chris. For
of course he is.
Benny Milk.
I love how you say that. Of course he's a big fan of the show.
All right, he's playing in the Deep Stack tournament. It's a $5 entry fee.
Wait a minute. $5 entry fee and it's a Deep Stack tournament?
It's deep. It doesn't matter how much you pay. I mean, they can give you all the chips they want, right?
Wow. I love that.
All right, $5 entry fee, 1,500 people playing. Blinds are at $25.50. Our hero has 4,500, which is bigger than the average stack.
Good.
All right, we good?
Happy for him.
All right, he looks down at 7 of diamonds, 7 of clubs, in the cutoff. Presumably it's been folded around to him. What do we do?
I guess I'd raise.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess I'd raise at 3x. 150.
Yep. Whatever your standard raise is, raise it up.
All right. He raises it to 150. It folds around to the big blind, who is the only person at the table with a bigger stack than us. And he calls, and we go heads up into a flop of 3 of hearts, 7 of hearts, queen of hearts.
Bingo,
the big blind checks,
bango,
and it comes bongo to us. And Chris sings his way into a decision here.
Well, that's a nice it's a nice little flop, but of course there's concern with the hearts. I don't know, quote, have to see where I am, close quote, rightly. So I think I'll bet, since he checked us. It's, what, 300 in a pot, so I mean, 4, so I don't know, maybe 220 or so, maybe, 300, maybe, no, 250, how about 250?
Yeah, anywhere 2 to 250. We got what, about 3.75 in the pot, so anywhere from 200 to 250. Yeah, and you're not. I'm gonna make my continuation bet here, pretty much all the time, and I flop my set. It's what I'm looking for anyway. You can't be worried that he flopped the flush. It does happen less than 1% of the time, so he would have had to start with the 2 hearts and hit that less than 1%. So we're just right now we're really happy with this flop.
Now, if thinking back to some of the other hands that you've analyzed with us, as long as you're betting about 2/3 of the pot, you're still giving them incorrect odds for the flush draw, right? Is that what you said before?
Yeah, that's right. Because with only one card to come, you know, as long as you're betting at least half the pot, then you're going to be giving them the incorrect odds. You just and a lot of people think of it as times 4 when they're trying to figure out their own odds. So when they think they've got their 9 outs, they think they're, you know, roughly 2 to 1, but they're really 3 to 1 because they're only about the 20% or 25% or so, I guess about 20% to hit it on the turn with just one to come. So they're really 4 to 1. So as long as you're giving them worse than that, 4 to 1, then you're doing fine with your betting.
Okay.
I mean, don't like just shove because you don't want to have any hearts and you're scared that he has hearts in his hand. I mean, you just can't know what they've got. So you want to be consistent. And 2 to 250 here is great.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Our hero bets 250, which is kind of what we said, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now the villain re-raises to 600, or I guess just raises.
Raises
to 600.
Huh. Oh, man, it sounds like last week when we weren't sure if the check raise was legit or not. I mean, it feels like he could have a naked ace in his hand, ace of hearts, or a heart in his hand. Or he could just have... I don't know. Man, that's brutal. I don't know what to do there. I guess I would raise again. I mean, I still have 10 outs if I'm beat right now. So maybe make it 1,800?
Yeah, he's only a little more than min raising us, which usually indicates a pretty strong hand. He's probably just going to call if he actually flopped the flush, unless he flopped a baby flush, and he may be going ahead and raising it to try to keep you off of a draw. But it's such a small raise. I mean, the only thing that beats us is two queens, and he's probably re-raising that pre-flop. I'm raising here to make any queen pay, and you know, just to get value. I mean, if it's set over set, it's set over set. I mean, I'm willing to put my stack in right here.
Wow.
Put your whole stack in.
Wow.
I mean, you've only got 4,500, so once he raises to 600, if you're going to make it 1,800, then, you know, you're already putting in about half your stack. I mean, you could just shove it here even.
Wow.
Okay. See, that's why he's made it to the final table of the World Series of Poker, Chris. And you and I are sitting in our shorts in our bedrooms.
You know, if he's got ace queen with the ace of hearts, he's going to call you there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's times for pot control, and there's times for, you know, getting people to pay off, and these are kind of those situations that you look for. Especially, you know, I do play a lot of really small buy-in tournaments online, and, you know, a lot of the value there is just waiting for those spots to get somebody to just, that'll commit their stack with top pair, and you flop two pair or better, you really want to make them pay. If he's got two queens, he's got two queens, and you just go broke unless you hit that miracle seven. So, I'm raising here. I'm not letting a flush draw or, you know, a weak queen just stick around.
Okay.
Our
hero re-raises to 1,500, which is fairly consistent with what we're saying, I believe. The villain goes into the tank for quite a while and, quote, requesting time and the whole deal. And then flat calls, or flats, like Lee likes to say.
Flats. Just feels like a draw.
Yeah.
All right. Turn comes the deuce of hearts. So that's the tray of hearts, seven of hearts, queen of hearts, deuce of hearts. Probably not a card we wanted to see, but the villain checks.
Huh. I have no problem. I guess now, since we didn't shove, I have no problem checking again. And
yeah,
hoping I boat up.
I'm definitely checking. I mean, he's either hit his draw, or, you know, he just had a queen to begin with. You have to check here with the four hearts there. Then you don't have a heart, and it's only a seven if you did. So,
yeah.
I'd check.
All right. That is what our hero does. The river brings the queen of clubs. So the tray of hearts, seven of hearts, queen of hearts, deuce of hearts, and a queen of clubs. Two queens on board. Our villain checks. And what do we do with our boat here?
Well, it's weird. If he has just a naked queen, then we're going to get... We may not get that much out of him anyway, since there's four hearts. And if he has a heart, you know, it depends how high it is. If it's a really high heart, we might get some more money out of him. He probably doesn't put us on a set to flop, so I don't know. Maybe a value bet here.
Okay. Yeah, I'd make a small bet here. Or yeah, I'll tell you what. You could make a small bet, or you could just shove, hoping he actually has the flush, and represent that you had a queen. And I don't know how much we've got left anyway. We've put in 15.
You have 3,000 left.
Yeah. So. And that's about what's in the pot. So it wouldn't. It'd be fine. If you think he's, you know, if you think he's a pretty decent player and won't pay off much if he's just got a queen, then, you know, maybe make a small bet. But that the over bet could could look more like a, you know, as a bluff. It could look, you know, real bluffy, but it's still a pot-sized bet, so it's not a huge overbet anyway.
I gotta tell you, I like your shove earlier now than I than just a 3x, because just, if this guy has something like queen 7 or queen 3, oh, I guess queen 3 would. Queen two, that's still, that's a full house too.
Yeah, happy both.
Yeah, so I mean, I kind of like your shove earlier now, because now I'm in this predicament that I wouldn't have been in had I shoved. So,
yeah, I mean, the only thing we're logically losing to here is quad queens.
Yeah,
that, as far as, you know, the hands that, you know, should be in his normal range. So I think he's more like, most of the time, and this is what we have to do, is make our decisions based on what's usually the case. You know, most of the time, I think he's either got a flush or he's got a queen, and that didn't boat up.
Yeah.
So we've got to feel, most of the time, we're going to be good here. And I think anything you bet is fine. And I'm gonna be willing to put my stack in at this point. I just can't, if I go broke to quads, or if he's got queen deuce 7 or 3, then that's just weird.
it's hard for me to come up with a value bet number, though, since we only have about 2,800 and there's almost 4,000 in the pot, or whatever, three, a little more than three, you know, almost 4,000 in the pot. It's like a value bet. You only have 28. You're betting 50% of your stack. If you bet half the pot's almost your whole stack anyway, and a third of the pot is fishy. I guess I just shove and watch them beat me with a crappy hand. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to do here, but I can't really picture a value bet here. It doesn't look like just ridiculous, like 1,000 maybe. That's kind of weird too.
Yeah, I like the shove here most of the time. Yeah. That's probably just, I think if he's going to pay anything, he'll probably go ahead and pay the pot size bet.
All right, let's shove, Scott. See what happens.
All right, well, our hero makes the 1,000 chip value bet. That you said was fishy, Chris. And the villain takes only about 5 seconds to re-raise all in.
Oh, man. Oh, maybe. Oh, man. What could this guy have? There's no way he's got, like, pocket deuces and hit quads, right? No. A full house smaller than ours, right? Small. No, there's no way. Pocket threes? What the hell does this guy have? Ace of hearts? Well, yeah, I mean, we got to call. I mean, we can't fold.
Yeah, right? we're calling because it's consistent with all of those things. It's a really bad play with a flush. He should, you know, obviously be either check calling or you know, he should just be out of there. Should have bet the turn also, but it's in a lower buy-in. You'll see a lot of people do this, even higher buy-ins. I mean, there's just the buy-ins sometimes don't matter. People are just kind of bad, and they'll check raise on paired boards with flushes. And you know, unless you're absolutely certain, which you can't be, that your opponent only has a queen and will pay it off, then it's a bad play. So, you know, I would check call with a flush there. When he check raises, I mean, like we said, the only things that beat you are queen deuce, queen seven, queen three. So, yeah, you're definitely calling.
All right, so what happens?
All right, so our hero does call. The villain tables queen of spades, deuce of spades.
Oh, my God.
Brutalizes us.
I mean, that's essentially runner, 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 if you think about it, since the queen was like the third card. That's just sick.
Yeah.
Why is this person calling a raise with a suited queen deuce?
It's suited, Chris.
Oh, my God.
He's got two straight draws with it.
There's your $5 tournaments at its best. Oh.
Nice hand, sir, and good game, Benny Milk.
All right, well, Benny, I feel bad for you, but we are going to make it better for you with a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards. Show that to the villain when he's calling your bet with Queen Deuce, and maybe you'll get him to fold and save your next tournament. But we appreciate you sending the hand in, and everybody else, send your hand to podcast at anyupmagazine.com. If Lee's in the house, he'll analyze it. If not, Chris and I will fumble through it.
Are we not going to analyze how well the villain played this hand?
You go for it, Lee.
Yeah, you do that at home and let us know how it turns out.
All right, I'll call the hotline with it.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on today.
All right, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Scott, another good show. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long.
And we will see you at the table.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
All right, Chris, since we've gone to the swag shelf, we've tried not to spread around the swag. Chris, since we started, I can't start over without f***ing it up.
It's all right. It's the best part.
More Easter eggs for you there.